Hello there and welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimek and I'm so glad to be back with you today. We are going on this program today, we're going to look at the Mass readings for Trinity Sunday, or officially the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Now, you know, it's interesting. We are technically back in ordinary time. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and then we went back into ordinary time, specifically the 10th week in ordinary time. Now, if you go to daily Mass or you have a daily Missal, it's going to be more obvious to you. Because what happens now, we're in a really kind of a cool period in the liturgical year, because last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and in many dioceses, the previous Sunday was Ascension Sunday, formerly known as Ascension Thursday. But for the most part, in the United States, just about every diocese has transferred it to Sunday. So we have a Solemnity of the Ascension, Pentecost Sunday. This Sunday, another celebration, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. Again, even though we're back in ordinary time, and then next week, we have the Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, typically referred to as Corpus Christi. So what we see really is a bunch of big days on Sundays, even though we are back in ordinary time. So it almost still feels like we're in that Easter season mode because of these great solemnities. So this week we're going to focus on the Trinity. We got some good readings, and you know, this is one of those Sundays that during the liturgical year that has always been a little mysterious to me. It's becoming clearer now the importance of the Trinity, but a lot of times after you get done Pentecost, now you're back, you're into celebrating the Trinity. So exactly what is going on there? Why is that important? I mean, this is the way I thought, and I think I'm probably not alone there, because we understand that on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit descended upon the church. Now we're focused on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So where do we go with that, right? It's a mystery. It's very hard to understand, technically impossible for us with a human intellect to understand the Trinity, and that's why it is a mystery. So we're going to try to maybe shed some light on the topic today by looking at the Mass readings. And I'm so glad you're with me. I'm glad you're able to join me. Just a follow-up before we pray on Pentecost Sunday. You know, I want to make sure, and I made the point last week on the show, that even though this event occurred in time, approximately 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit descended upon the church, you and I, if we were baptized, we still have that power of the Holy Spirit available to us. We receive the Holy Spirit at baptism. That power of the Spirit is strengthened when we're confirmed, and now we have it. We have that same Holy Spirit power that we saw evidence of in the reading from last Sunday, the celebration, the Solemnity of Pentecost. You know, it might not manifest itself in the same way, but the power is there. And I think it's good for us to remember that, because it gives us the confidence to face whatever it is we face in life, knowing that we have that Holy Spirit power working in us. The Spirit of Jesus is in us and enables us to think, to speak, to act as Jesus did. And, you know, just knowing that really gives us a sense, or can give us a sense of confidence, that no matter what we face, no matter what crisis we're facing, no matter how challenging it is, we can handle it. But, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't force his way into any of our lives. The Holy Spirit suggests things, encourages us, makes it easier to speak, to think, to act like Jesus did. But really, it's up to us to really cooperate with that grace given to us by the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to say that because I think it's important. We don't want to forget that. We don't want to solely look at the Solemnity of Pentecost as the birthday of the church, which it was. This is when the church was formed, but officially formed when the Holy Spirit descended upon the Blessed Mother and the disciples. But let's bring it up to date as well. The Holy Spirit is still active in us. and we could do great things. And the Lord expects us to do great things with the help of the Holy Spirit. So let's remember that Holy Spirit power. So, as I said right now, let's turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we'll get more into the readings for Trinity Sunday. So let's begin in the name of the Father. And, you know, before I start, I typically say, let's call to mind that we are in the presence of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. What better thing to remember on Trinity Sunday as we open with the sign of the cross that we are with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, it's so good to be back with you. What a privilege it is to be able to turn to you in prayer and recognize that where you are, the Son is, and where the Son and you are, the Holy Spirit is as well. So when we know that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we also know, Father, we have you and we have Jesus deep inside of us, in our soul. We are in that relationship with you, which is something that I know I struggle with because it's a very difficult concept for my human brain to comprehend. But there's a sense of comfort knowing that you are within me, Father, as well as Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You're not just beside me, you're in me. And I'm so grateful for that, Father. We turn to you today with all of our needs. We pray for our temporal needs, the things that we need to sustain our lives on this earth. We pray for our spiritual needs. Father, we need your help to get to heaven. There's no way we can do it on our own. You know that. We sometimes forget that. And we pray for emotional needs as well. You know, sometimes it's just not easy, Father, to deal with the challenges of life. And we can get discouraged. So we pray for all of our needs today. We pray for those people who have asked us to pray for them. So many times I forget what people ask me to pray for them. So I want to include all of those people. I may have forgotten them, but you know who they are. I want to pray for all my we pray for our family members, for our friends, for our acquaintances, for our fellow parishioners at our churches. We pray for all in the United States, the challenges of living in a divided country as we are right now. We pray for all around the world who are struggling with various needs. We pray for healing in body, mind, and spirit for the sick. We pray for all who care for the sick, either in their homes or in hospitals or nursing homes or rehab facilities. We pray for all those who are looking for work. And we especially want to pray for those who are unemployed at the moment. It's one thing, Father, you know, to look for a job when you already have a job. But when you're unemployed, I've been there, and it can be so difficult. So we want to lift up especially those who are unemployed at the moment. We want to pray for those who are homeless. We want to pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We want to pray for those who are angry. Some of them might be angry at you, Father. We want to pray for those souls who are in most need of your mercy. We want to pray for our church, our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, all of our bishops, all of our priests, all of our deacons, all members of religious communities. We pray for all the souls in purgatory. We especially remember the souls of our deceased family and friends and those who have no one to pray for them. We pray, Father, for an end to abortion and a greater respect for life, all the way from conception until natural death. And Father, I pray today that you send your Holy Spirit upon me so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be able to hear and put into practice your message as delivered on this program today. Father God, I ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, again, thank you for joining me on the program. Thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimak. We do this show once each week for 30 minutes, and I'm so glad to be able to come and share my thoughts on the weekly mass readings, as well as the readings themselves. What a great privilege it is to be able to do this. I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I thank you for listening. I ask you, if you enjoy the show, please let your friends know about the program. If you want to find out more about my ministry, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. Just a quick word, Lord Save Me, that's my new book. That book will be coming out in August, very early August. You could pre-order it now by going to followingthetruth.com. And if you'd like to bring me in to speak at your parish or your conference, now would be a good time to do it. I am booking Give Up Worry for Lent for 2026. One-day parish missions, or in certain cases, I could do multiple days, whatever your preference. But now would be a good time to do it. I also have openings for the remainder of 2025, as well as non-Lent talks and missions for 2026. So you want to bring me to your parish? Now is the perfect time to do it. Just head on over to followingthetruth.com, and you can contact me through the website, or you can just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's get right to it now. As we do each week, we're going to look at we're going to begin with the gospel. And, you know, if you're a new listener to the program, I say this a lot, and I don't want to just continue to repeat it, but I realize that you may be a new listener to the show. I always believe in leading with the gospel, because the gospel, the church tells us, has a place of prominence in the Bible. So the gospel really drives the readings, especially during ordinary time. The gospels proceed sequentially on the Sundays in ordinary time. And the first reading and the responsorial psalm are chosen to match up with the gospel. So there's always some kind of a theme there. And the second reading, like the gospels, moves sequentially, depending on what it may be. But I always like to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, try to find the theme that runs through all of the readings. And I really believe it's a good idea to start off with the gospel and then to back up and look at how the other readings support the gospel. So today's gospel is relatively short, and it's a good one, especially considering that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. It's a nice follow-up. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And we've been hearing a lot, both during daily mass during the Easter season, and sometimes at Sunday mass as well, from this particular section of John's gospel, the Lord's final discourse to his followers, as well as his dialogue with his Father. So this week we're in John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is where, right prior to his being taken into captivity on the night of the Last Supper, that's where this particular passage comes from. So John 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth." Now remember, we heard these readings, these type of readings, before Pentecost Sunday, alluding to the fact that the Holy Spirit would be sent once Jesus ascended to the Father. The Holy Spirit would come to the church from the Father and Jesus, right? So this is really pre-Pentecost, this reading. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me. Remember, this is Jesus talking, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what it is mine and declare it to you. Now, the main thing I see when I look at this gospel is mention of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who is the one speaking, with the exception of the 1, 2, 3, 4, the first five words, the rest of today's gospel is a direct quote from Jesus. It begins, "Jesus said to his disciples," and the rest is all Jesus talking. So we have Jesus speaking, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about the Father. So you can see why this reading, this gospel reading, would have been chosen for Trinity Sunday, because we see this reference to the Trinity, and how they're all distinct persons, you know. And again, this is a mystery, so it's going to be hard to, we're not going to be able to comprehend this. We can understand it in that it's a mystery, right? That there's a Father, there's Jesus, there's the Holy, and then there's the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, three distinct persons who can have relationships and who do have a relationship with one another. And again, the whole mystery of the Holy Spirit, that's beyond us. But we're not God. It's okay. You know, sometimes we try to figure out things that is beyond our human comprehension. But we can understand the concept of the fact that there is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all equal. They are all God. So let's use that as our starting point for these readings, and then let's back up and look at the first reading, which is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. Now, this is going to be interesting. We're going to have to work a little to make a connection here, and let's see if you can pick it out. Thus says the wisdom of God, the Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains or springs of water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet the earth and fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he fixed fast the foundations of the earth, when he set for the sea its limit, so that the waters should not transgress his command, then was I beside him as his craftsman, and I was his delight day by day, playing before him all the while, playing on the surface of his earth, and I found delight in the human race. All right, did you catch any Trinitarian reference here? Well, here's what I would say about this. Remember, this is the Old Testament. So the concept of the Holy Spirit was not really fully understood or even revealed at this point. But I think what we see here, and according to the commentaries I read on this passage, this of the first reading, we see the personification of wisdom with God, right? So a separate person almost of wisdom present with God before the world was created. Now, when you look at this with hindsight, you know, the hindsight now of knowing about the Trinity, knowing that Jesus was the Word made flesh, we almost see, I think we do see a reference to Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who was present with the Father when the world was created, right? Because, you know, the idea of God, one God, three persons, if you go back to the time when this was written in the Old Testament, it wasn't clear. The Trinity is something that was revealed, was really, I mean, there's references when you look at the Old Testament readings, but essentially Jesus is the one who talked about the Holy Spirit and that he is the Son of God, you know, and it was made clearer. So we basically see this first reading setting the stage for God, for one God and multiple persons. And that's the way I would look at it, you know, sort of a setting the stage that God is more than just one person. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the church teaches that all three persons of the Trinity were involved, even though they have distinct roles, they were all involved in creation. And that's just something to keep in mind. And let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 8. O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. When I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? You have made him little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the paths of the seas. O Lord, O our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. You know, when Jesus came into our world, when the Word became flesh, he changed and uplifted the dignity of man because he took on human flesh. And there was a revelation there. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us, because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And we see the Word, again, the second person of the Trinity, who existed from the beginning of time with the Father. You know, the Word, Jesus, the Word, the, if you want to call it the spoken Word of the Father, if it helps you to think of it that way, the Word existed with God from all eternity, as did the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, the man, the Word became flesh, who became flesh, he was born at a specific point in time. And Jesus was born. The Word wasn't born. The Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, existed with God. Now, and you know, as you look at these readings, you might remember I said it can be a little vague. It can be a little heady or theoretical, right? It's good to understand the some basics, some concepts about the Trinity, but don't make it hurt your head. You know, if you're like me, too much of this theoretical talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's important to know. It really is. But you're not going to understand everything. And I know that may drive you crazy. Sometimes that kind of stuff drives me crazy. But I've learned that it's best to just accept some things as revealed by God through His church. That there is a Trinity. That there is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. That they are all God, and that they are all equal, and that they all have a certain role to play in our lives, right? And I think, don't go crazy trying to understand everything about the Trinity, because you won't. You won't understand it. But it's something that we can learn more about if we keep at it. So I would encourage you to be open. You want to read some books about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, how the Trinity, some thoughts from some theologians and fathers of the church and the saints who have written about the Trinity. It's a good thing. You know, catechism has some good stuff in there so that we have a better understanding. Again, but don't expect to understand it all because it's beyond us. Now, let's look at the second reading. We're going to hear from St. Paul. And remember, we got the Trinitarian theme going today because it is Trinity Sunday, and see if you can pick it out here. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Now, that last verse, Romans 5:5, it's just so powerful. And I want to really spend a little time on that one. But first, I want to mention this is St. Paul writing about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in this passage. So obviously a Trinitarian reference. But I love that last verse. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And this is a nice follow-up on Pentecost Sunday last week. The love of God. God expects me to love Him with an unconditional love, meaning that there are no conditions attached. I love God. I want to do what God wants. I mean, ideally, that's the love that the Lord expects us to show Him. He also wants us to love our neighbors and our enemies in the same way, which can be really difficult. But because God understands You know, he's not asking us to do something that's impossible, that we can't love that way. Eventually, we're just going to give up, or we're not going to be able to carry through. He pours out his love, which is the unconditional love. The church teaches that the love between the Father and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. That's so we get the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and Jesus, unconditional, perfect love, which we can use to love God and to love other people. He even gives us the love. Now try to remember, love is not a feeling. There can be feelings associated with love, but primarily love is willing the good of another and doing what's good for the other person. Right? That's what it means to love. And for us, that's difficult sometimes because we sometimes lose sight of that because the world looks at love in a different way than we do. But when we recognize that love is not a feeling, but a conscious decision, it's a choice, it's an action, you know, it's something we decide to do, then it takes on a whole new meaning. But that actual love that God wants us to use to love him and to love others is something that's given to us. And that love comes through the Holy Spirit. All right, so there you have it. They're the readings for this Sunday, Trinity Sunday. Hopefully you got a better appreciation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by listening to these readings. And again, you don't expect to get it all. None of us are going to fully be able to understand the Trinity. It's impossible to understand the Trinity and how the Trinity operates. Or, you know, you can understand the general theory and that there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that they're all equal, that they are three distinct persons, but the inner workings, that's beyond us. So I'm going to encourage you to accept that, to be okay to not fully understand the concept, but to just take it as a matter of faith. And we can learn more about it. No doubt we can understand it better, but we're not going to be able to fully understand how the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit works, okay? So let's just continue. I hope I didn't confuse you more than you were when you started. Anyway, if you have questions, you can always email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. You are in my prayers. And God willing, I hope to be back with you next week as we celebrate the solemnity of Corpus Christi. Bye-bye now.